Sometimes when we read them, we are also shocked into thinking, surely, when surveys are done, you can't have that amount of children or that percentage of children believing this or that. But just a recent one that came out by the British Nutrition Foundation says of 5 to 7 year olds, so we need to take that into context as well, that 29% of those 5 to 7 year olds surveyed believed that cheese comes from plants. 22% of 5 to 7 year olds believe that pasta comes from animals. From the reaction, is it that you're not shocked by the statistics, or are you thinking, wait, I thought it did? 18% of 5 to 7 year olds believe that fish fingers are made of chicken. There we go. I think you all knew that one, didn't you? Yeah. So there is clear ignorance with some of our children of knowing where food actually comes from. But I do hope that they understand a more general principle in agriculture, but also in life, which is what is called the law of great returns. The law of great returns is you reap what you sow. There's different ways of saying it. Perhaps this is the most familiar way of saying it. You reap what you sow. If you have a vegetable patch in a garden, or if you have an allotment, you will hopefully know that the seeds that you pick at the garden centre and then you plant, those seeds will determine which plants that will grow. If you plant some apple seeds, you're not going to get a pear tree. And the same thing can be said in life as well. That in life there are certain natural laws which we all experience and that we live by. We all reap what we sow. If you are the sort of person who likes to eat really fatty food, you're not going to reap a really healthy body out of it. If you're someone who just likes to spend and spend and spend, unless you've got a huge income, what you're going to reap is debt. This is hopefully nothing too astonishing to you, nothing too new to you. But there is this principle of we reap what we sow. Sometimes it might be difficult for children to grasp. Sometimes it's difficult for us to grasp as well in the reality. I can say some very obvious things of saying, if you do something, there will be an obvious consequence of something else. It's obvious to say it in the here and now, and yet the ways in which we act and behave mean that sometimes we don't really understand what it means to sow and what it means to reap. It's really similar in a spiritual sense, that God has created this world with certain rules and principles and laws that we can understand how life works. In the same way, there are certain rules and laws and principles by which we live in the spiritual realm as well. That what we sow spiritually, we will then reap. And that's something that I want us to be spending a few minutes considering this morning. We're going through half a chapter, in fact, of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And last week we looked at how there was a time to be born and there was a time to die. And this week we're looking at this. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest. The author of Ecclesiastes says there is a time, There is a designated time. There is a right time to be planting. There is a right time to be harvesting as well. So I want us to be thinking about how in this situation can we be wise gardeners of the physical things that we have and also the spiritual choices that we have to make as well. And so Roy is going to come up and read to us from Galatians chapter 6.
If you don't have your own Bibles with you and you're using the Church Bible, you'll find the reading on page 1172. Church Bibles are available as you come in, so in future please feel free to pick one of those up as you arrive so you can read the Word of God rather than just listen. So 1172, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roy. When we look at some of these New Testament letters, sometimes we wonder what is the situation of the church into which it's being written. When Paul writes to these churches, we only have his side of the conversation. And so when he talks about certain areas, certain concerns, we can only assume that the church in that area has even been asking Paul and other questions, which he then answers in a letter, or that Paul has had some feedback about the behavior or the beliefs or the situation of that church, and he wants to address them. And so as we look through the book of Galatians, we can see that there are all sorts of different questions, all sorts of different issues which the people in Galatia need addressing. They have many struggles in their belief and also how that belief works itself out in practice as well. One of the main themes of Galatians, one of the main concerns of Galatians, is how the people in Galatia are really struggling to get to grips with this new spiritual life which they have been told about. Paul says that there is a battle going on in each of our hearts. We have a desire to please our flesh. We have a desire to please our senses. We have a desire to fulfill our carnal urges within us, which express themselves in different ways. And yet he says, for the person who gives their life to Christ, they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means that no longer do you just give in to these desires. No longer are you seeking just to please the flesh, but now you are called to please the Spirit. You are called to please God. You are called to please the Holy Spirit within you. But we know, all of us know, that even when we become Christians, it's not as if all of our urges and all of our desires to please the flesh just suddenly go away, but rather that it is a lifelong journey of us getting to grips and battling with these different forces within us, so that as time goes on, we can seek to have a greater desire to please the Spirit over pleasing our flesh. And there are different ways in which the people in Galatia seek to please their flesh. One obvious way, which is mentioned, in fact, just in the verse before our Bible reading, is how they tended to be quite stingy with their money, with how they appreciated that what they had been given was given by God. And yet there was this fleshly desire, there was this selfish desire to be holding on to what they had rather than pleasing the Spirit by giving away generously to those in need and to those in authority over them. And perhaps the most famous way in which the Galatians focused too much on seeking to please the flesh or obey the flesh was in terms of their views on the Old Testament law and in particular circumcision. So within the church in Galatia there were a large group of people called the Judaizers, and these were Hebrews, these were people who had been brought up in the Jewish tradition, and they had come to Christ, and rather than leaving all of the rules that they used to live by behind, rather they wanted to keep on living in this very religious way whilst also seeking to follow Christ. So not only were they determined to live the same way as they lived before, but their expectation was that anyone who became a Christian should also take on many of the Jewish practices which were introduced in the first five books of the Bible or introduced throughout Jewish history with the introduction of the oral law. So they would say to people who weren't even Jewish, who didn't even have a background in being Jewish, they would say to these men, to Greek men, to Turkish men, they'd be saying, in order for you to be right before God, yes, you need to give your life to Christ. Yes, you need to follow him. Yes, you need to be a disciple of his. But being part of a disciple of his is going through the rite of passage, the Jewish rite of passage of being circumcised. And this was something that Paul really wanted to address, because he didn't want people to be chained up by all of these laws and rules which didn't apply to them. But rather, he wanted people to see that all they needed to do to follow Jesus was to believe in him and trust in him and follow his way. So the people in Galatia were caught up in this battle between seeking to please the flesh, seeking to please the Spirit. And so often they were giving in to pleasing their carnal desires, pleasing the flesh. And from our passage here, I think Paul is asking a few questions. He's asking, when you give in to the desires of your flesh, when you seek to please your body rather than seeking to please God, do you actually think of the consequences of your actions? When you do sin, when you give yourself over to your flesh rather than to the Spirit, do you just think that somehow you'll get away with what you've done? Do you think that you can live however you want to for 6 days of the week and then turn up to church, rock up to church on a Sunday, and then think there won't be any consequences from that week into how you worship God on a Sunday? Paul says very directly to the Galatians, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't con yourself into thinking that you can sow into your life and into your life of others certain vices and think that somehow that will magically produce virtue. So famously, we've got a couple of lists of different character traits and different types of behavior in the previous chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And Paul lists a series of vices which I assume the Galatians are struggling with. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. these are certain qualities which may have gripped certain people in the church in Galatia. These were issues that people were trying to deal with. But it seems from the letter as if some of them were just giving into it, that they thought that they could give in to these vices and it wouldn't have any kind of effect on what would be the outcome of their spiritual lives. Perhaps some thought that they could do this, do these things, or some of these things for 6 days of the week, and then on a Sunday, when they hear a sermon, when they join in with some prayers, when they take communion together, somehow God will start to give them the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just as an apple seed won't produce a pear tree, just as a tomato seed won't produce a strawberry plant, so sowing vices, by giving in to them, by displaying them, maybe by even encouraging other people to join in with them, by sowing these vices, do not expect in your life to see the fruit, to see the harvest of the Spirit. There is this warning that Paul gives to us. If you are sowing seeds, if you are giving out these carnal desires and these carnal attitudes, if you're seeking to please the flesh by what you sow into your life and into others, you will only harvest decay and death. Rather, what we should be sowing, what we should be giving out, what we should be investing ourselves in are things which please the Spirit. And when we please the Spirit with these things, then we will have life and we will bear good fruit. It's very easy for us to be conning ourselves into thinking, I can eat however I want, I can eat as many fatty foods as I want, but I'm sure that somehow, at some point, I will get the physique that I want. It doesn't make any sense thinking about it now, but when we go out later, if we go out to a restaurant later, that's in the back of our minds, that's how we might be thinking. And we can do the same thing when we're thinking about our Christian lives as well. We can so easily con ourselves into thinking we can behave however we want, and yet God will still bless us and grow us and produce a good harvest out of an unhealthy seed that we are giving out. Paul says, don't con yourself, but he also says, don't even try and con God. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be tricked. We cannot just live however we want to live, pleasing the flesh, sowing seeds of decay and death, and then think that God is just suddenly going to bless us in some incredible way and completely forget or ignore what we've done during the week. God is just, and God will have his justice. One day we will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will have to give an account of how we've lived our lives. And yes, we will trust in the grace and the forgiveness of God. We will trust that Jesus died on the cross and took away our sin. But at the same time, we still need to take responsibility for the ways in which we've lived this life, which God has gifted to us. So there will be a judgment in the future for all people. But also there is a kind of a judgment that is working itself out now. That isn't to say that if we give in to our carnal desires, if we're trying to please the flesh during this week, that somehow God is going to send down a lightning bolt and create something dreadful in our lives. It's not as if you're going through a very difficult time in your life at the moment, it is because God is somehow judging you, that God is being vindictive of you. and doing something horrible to you because of what you've done. But rather, just as we all live in this world where there are certain laws and principles which govern the way in which we live, so there are certain spiritual consequences to the way that we live as well. And so just in the way that God has created our world, if we live each day sowing seeds where we're seeking to please the flesh, then we should not con ourselves into thinking that we can produce something which is fruitful and something that is good out of the ways in which we live our lives. So Paul encourages us to think about what are we sowing in our lives. Are we sowing something which is negative, something which will decay, something which will destroy, or are we sowing a blessing into our own lives and also with others? We have a couple of verses at the end of our passage which make clear that we need to have perseverance in the ways in which we live our lives, because just as we seek to sow out good things into our own lives so that we'll bear fruit, so that we seek to sow good things and blessings into other people's lives so that they will bear good fruit, just as it takes time for the seed to grow into a plant or a tree, so it takes time for us to sow something good and for us to be able to reap the reward and to have a good harvest. So we need to be patient with ourselves. We need to be patient with people that we are seeking to invest into as well. But we have this promise that where we sow good seeds into our lives and into the lives of others, God will be working in that germination. God will be creating a wonderful harvest of fruitfulness. And Timothy Keller, a well-known preacher and author, highlights three ways in which we can see a wonderful harvest if we sow good seeds. The first thing is into ourselves and into our own transformed lives. That if we can stop sowing these seeds which bring decay and death and discouragement and which warp our minds, that discourage us, if we can stop sowing those things and rather start to sow the fruit of the Spirit, then we'll see a wonderful fruitfulness in our lives, that we will see ourselves being changed in our attitudes and in our approaches. We'll see transformation in our own lives, but we'll also see transformed families and communities. And perhaps that can be best demonstrated by the charities that we are supporting this morning. That when we sow seeds of provision, where we sow seeds of blessing, whether it be finances or practical things, that we can see other people blessed. That where we have given our seed of goodness, we will see them grow and change and be transformed in their living situations, but also hopefully in their understanding and appreciation of just who God is. So there's this blessing in ourselves, there's a blessing for families and communities, and perhaps in the most exciting way, there is a third way, which is where we sow a seed into other people, we can see a fruitfulness that comes up in them, which then means that they then have their own seeds to be passing on to others. Just yesterday I was talking to one of my friends and he was saying about how recently he's started to be mentored. He's been in ministry for so many years, he's never had a mentor before. But now he has someone who is sowing wonderful, good, encouraging, positive, inspirational seeds into his thinking and into his life. And what it will mean for my friend is that he will grow in fruitfulness. He will grow in the harvest so that when the time is right, he will have his own seeds so that he can mentor other people, so that he can invest in other people and see this seed go from one person to another, go from one family to another, go from one community to another, so that we see the fruitfulness of God, so that we can see his kingdom of fruitfulness spread amongst ourselves and also beyond. The goal of the Christian ultimately is to give God glory. And where it speaks about God's glory in the scriptures, we want to pay specific attention. And Jesus himself said this: "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." For us to praise God, for us to glorify God, we can do it by listening to a sermon, we can do it by singing praises, we can do it by giving to the church, by giving to other organizations. But most of all, we will glorify God when we bear much fruit. And if we are to do that, we need to be careful of the seeds which we are sowing, because it will be those seeds which grow into the fruit. We are all sowing people. Everything that we do, every thought that we have, produces a seed in us. Every conversation that we have with someone will produce a seed in them. The question is, what kind of seed is it? Are you sowing rotten seeds, where you're sowing negativity, where you're sowing gossip, where you're sowing selfishness? If you're sowing those things, there will be a fruitfulness, but it won't be the kind of fruitfulness that will be good for other people or for yourselves. Or will you be sowing good, healthy seeds, where you're being positive about yourself, where you're showing positivity and encouragement to others? What kind of seed are you going to be sowing today? What we sow is what we reap. Will our lives harvest nettles, or will our lives harvest wheat? Will our lives harvest decay and death, or will our lives harvest eternal life? For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Not only should we be careful of what we are sowing so that we know what we're going to harvest, but also we should be careful when we sow as well. There is a correct time for sowing. There's a correct time for harvesting. In our back garden, we have got a cherry tree that we got last year, and it has not been fruitful at all. We've only had a couple of cherries from it, and we were just waiting and waiting and waiting for the fruit to come onto it, to the point where, because I think of the birds, we only had one cherry on our cherry tree. And Hannah tells me it was delicious, so that's good. Pleased for her. But we didn't know the time to harvest. We delayed and we delayed and we delayed, and it spoilt the fruit that we could have harvested. We need to be careful when we plant and when we harvest. We can be very quick to sow in certain ways. We're very happy to put on all sorts of events at the church, very eager to be putting on courses like Christianity Explored, really eager and creative and positive about sowing certain seeds. But as Christians, we can be so hesitant to harvest what God has been doing, what God has been growing. We can be so quick to sow the seed of inviting someone to an event. We can be so slow and so hesitant to be reaping that harvest and be bringing people to a mature faith in Jesus Christ. Later on in Ecclesiastes, it says, "Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest." We can be like that sometimes, where we're waiting for the perfect time to harvest, just like I was waiting for the perfect time to try and get a couple of cherries from my cherry tree. Perhaps now is the time to be harvesting. Perhaps now, when we've shared the gospel with people or try to get them along to something, perhaps now is the time to harvest. It may not seem like the perfect situation. They may not seem like they're perfectly ready to come to faith. Maybe for yourself, you haven't come to faith yet and you're waiting for that time. Maybe it's time to harvest. By God's wisdom and by God's boldness, let's be sure to be growing good seeds and to be sowing good seeds in our lives and in the lives of others, so that we can allow God to grow it, and then there will be the promise of a wonderful harvest and a wonderful fruit. I encourage you to close your eyes. These are some words from Psalm 128. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. Just in the quiet, just as we have our eyes closed, I want you to imagine the kind of fruit that you would like to harvest from your own life. Now take a moment to think about the seeds which you will need to sow in order to grow and to harvest that fruit. Just as we make errors, just as we deceive ourselves into thinking that we can eat badly and yet somehow be healthy, may we not be deceived into thinking we can sow seeds to please the flesh and expect to see a fruitfulness in our lives. Amen. Let's stand to sing.
To wrath, but rich in tender mercy, worship the Savior Jesus. King of grace, his love is overwhelming, bread of life, he's all ever lived. For his wrath, a touching forever, bought at the cross. Thank you.
We pray. Can I just thank those who have sent me cards and emails throughout the course of this week on the sudden death of my brother who has Down syndrome. He died this time last Sunday in the early hours of the morning. The age of 68, in fact, is amongst the top end of the UK for Downs. So I'm grateful for those who remembered me and the family, and particularly as we start planning the funeral and getting the arrangements in place. Thank you very much. I don't normally use set prayers, but that is harvest this morning, just at the beginning. And I'm just going to do that. Loving Father, we thank you for creating the beauty of the earth and all the various life forms within it. Forgive us for having recklessly exploited it, changing its weathers, depleting its resources, treating animals as commodities, and treating divisions between rich and poor, east and west, and haves and the have-nots. Help us turn away from our self-interest and greed to protect the climate of life which we depend on, and begin to live in such a way that we do not rob others of the means to live, either those now living or those who will come after us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Lord of the harvest, we thank you for all that you have worked on the land and seas to provide our daily food. Remember our farmers, fishermen, and those in all parts of the world who have planted the seeds and tended the crops and the fruits of those who labour it we enjoy. Grant that they may receive justice and a fair return for their labour and hopes for the future with a stable climate. We pray too for those who package and deliver those food to us, for shopkeepers and restaurants, for those concerned with the nation's health and for ourselves, lest we may shop wisely and with the thoughts of others. For those, we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Father, we are mindful that while we are well fed and nourished, there are many who are short of food. Those harvests have failed to lack of rain as climate changes, or those livelihoods which have been destroyed by war, humanity and exploitation. Bless the developments of the agencies who are seeking to readdress that balance and bring peace and justice where that is needed. Bless those who work for climate justice so they, all countries, rich and poor, and bring peace and justice to those also. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the world that you've given us. We have heard and seen this morning so much about this world at this harvest time. Father, we've seen this week throughout the issues which are created in this world, whether that is climate change, whether that is issues of land mining in Angola, or whether that is wars and more bombings in Iraq, or whether that is protests in Hong Kong. Father, you've given us a world to look after, and we need to learn to respect that. And we need to pray for those who have the authority to change things, that they will also learn to respect that. So, Lord, we just commit those things I've just mentioned into your hands now. Amen. Father, we pray for our nation and our community. Father, as we pray for our nation and what we've seen this week in those who are elected to govern and serve us, Father, we pray for respect for those on all sides. Pray for an understanding of those who are elected to serve. They will recognise the need to share, to discuss, to listen, and behave appropriately. Father, we do ask for this coming week particularly, with all the challenges that our nation faces at the moment, there are so many issues that need to be confronted and sorted out. We do pray that those who we elect to serve will have that ability to do that under you and in the right way. Amen. Father, we've given this morning the food for the food bank and our communities. We pray for those who do not have enough food to live on. Father God, that you will take this food that we've donated, and that will be used to help those who are struggling, those who are finding, whether that is through work or other social issues in their lives, they will listen and they will hear. And we also will be available to share and available to be available to people. Father, we pray finally for ourselves. Father, will you challenge us in so many different ways? Help us to respond to those challenges, whether that is through health or family life, decisions we have to make. Father, take us as part of your church family in this place. Reach out to our needs and our situations. Step in where you need to step in and bring about hope and completeness. Amen.